And though it took a sad occasion like this to bring us all together, Lord, yet, Lord Jesus, we know you are still faithful and true. You are still merciful, Lord Jesus. And there's nothing happened under the sun that you don't know about, Father. Lord God, and we want to ask this afternoon that as we come to pay our last respects, as we come to reflect this afternoon upon one whom we know and spoke with and was amongst us, Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit be present here this afternoon with us. Without you, Lord God, we're like sheep all gone astray, Father. But when you are wrong, then we know all is well, Lord Jesus. We invite your presence, Father, that you'll just drop in, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, you'll comfort the heart of the bereaved parents, the loved ones, Lord. That, Lord Jesus, you let them, please, I pray that you let them know that life goes on, Father. May your Holy Spirit so create the right atmosphere here this afternoon. May your Holy Spirit warm each heart, Father. May your Holy Spirit bring cheer, Lord Jesus. May your Holy Spirit take away all the gloom, Father, as we come, Lord, to continue to give you praise, honor, and glory. And we ask a special blessing, Lord God, upon the parents. Lord God, that though they have lost one so young and tender, yet, Lord God, they are not the only one. There are many in this world that have lost loved ones, maybe younger, Lord Jesus. Nevertheless, Lord God, we know it's always a heart, it's always a pain, Lord. And maybe you don't always understand why, Father. But God, may you bring comfort, may you bring cheer. We look towards you, Lord Jesus. I pray you have your own precious way this afternoon. As you dress, come to pay our last respects and try to encourage the family that remain. We welcome your presence, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it all. Amen and amen. I want to sing this little song, Amazing Grace. And you sing it all your heart this afternoon.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
it was grace that taught my heart to fear.
T'was grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace how precious did that grace appear. I first believed.
through many dangers,
through many dangers, toils and snares. I have
we've been there,
when we've been there, then thousand years, bright shining as the sun. We've no less grace to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let's just sing praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It is written, in the bad times, praise his name. In the good times, do the same.
Praise.
All things work together for good to them that love the Lord.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Jesus. Blessed be your precious holy name, O Lord my God. All honor and all glory go unto you, Father. We'll give you praise nevertheless, Lord Jesus. Though it be a sorrowful moment, Lord God, yet our hearts are delighted, Lord God, that you still love us, Father. You still care for us, Lord God. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord forever. We all sometime in life face tragedies, have moments that we wish never occur. Sometimes you wish things always go well and be good. I guess that's life. It's have its up, it's have its down. But because we know there's a God in heaven, and he knows all things, we put our faith and our trust and our confidence in him. And we face the times of sorrow in our lives with our head raised up, with our feet still planted. I want to encourage Sister Lorna and Brother Peters, the young brothers of Sister Beverly, and all those that have known her and is close to her, the family, the relatives, the uncles, the aunts, and her friends, her associates in life. That all is not lost. It's just another event that happens in our lives that is of a sorrowful nature, yes. But maybe we could reflect We look back, maybe remember back some of the moments that we had shared with her. Sorry she had to go on this way. But brother, sister, one of these days we have to go also. We don't know in what way we'll go. That is left up in the hands of Almighty God. But as we pay our last respects and as we ponder upon maybe her life, we just want to look a little deeper this morning, this afternoon, a little deeper at ourselves, and say to ourselves, it could have been me. If it wasn't for the grace of God, it could have been me. Let's just sing one more song, and I want to sing this one mainly for those that are in the house of the Lord, Sister Lorna, the family. I want to sing this one on behalf of them. That song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. It's the song number 77 in the Only Believe songbook. Just want to encourage them tonight, this afternoon. Are you weary and troubled? Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? The cry in the darkness see, there is life for a look at the Savior and life more abundant. Your eyes upon Jesus, look for his wonderful face, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and
through death into life everlasting.
Into life everlasting. We pass and we follow him over us, sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. So turn Shall it fill you, he promised.
His word shall not fail you, he promised.
Believe him and all will be well. Our seats. Our precious sister Beverly, Lorraine Nathaniel, passed away under what we call tragic and sad circumstances. And you know, when things like these happen, how sometimes we ask ourselves why on many occasions. And she, a young girl, born on 8th of June 1966. It means she's 24 years of age and didn't live to see her 25th birthday. And what a night to die on, a Good Friday night. It seems as if we're having some real tragic times and in this country, because just last carnival, a couple drunk up on that east coast there in Myar area. And you know, when things like these happen, as I said, it is so sad and it becomes the talk of the town. And to some, is just seven people drunk. To me, it was just seven people drunk until I realized that one who went was one whom I knew, one whom I spoke to, fellowship with, had nice moments with. She used to take the guitar and used to sing together right at her home when I was living in Aranjuez there. Off and on, maybe in Sunday school, sat and taught her there. One whom I love with all my heart. When I got to understand that she was one of those that went down, Of course, it brought sadness. It brought grief. Her mother here, Sister Lorna, faithful servant in the house of the Lord, I know, try to raise up the best she know how. Stepfather here, Brother Carly Peters. Her father, Cecil Lynch, is he here this afternoon? Cecil Lynch? Okay. And she left a little boy, Darren Joseph. Is he here? Oh, this little boy here. For him to grow up without a mother is going to be a real sad thing. And she has brothers, David and Stephen, John Michael, Jeffrey and Errol, sisters Nicole, Stacy, Celia, and Camille, some favorite cousins in Dixie Ann, Hazel, Rachel, Dickie, and some others. Her aunts Eileen, I know, and Yvonne, Annette, and Nola. A large family tree, a lot of relatives, uncles in Carlton and Lennox, and Selwyn and Oddie, and Alan and Alvin and Michael. I guess the news of her death brought such hurt to their hearts. Because she was such a young girl, it seems like she had a whole future in front of her. And you know, this is a thing that about life that we never seem to get accustomed to. Maybe in her little mind she may have thought, well, look, there's many an old person that I'll outlive. But as time and fate will have it, there's a lot of elderly person attending the funeral this afternoon. And just as you spend these last few moments, where at this point, all we have of her is a memory and an image. I don't see her as she is in that coffin. I see her when we had times and we talked together. Saw her just a couple of Sundays ago when she came to service right here. Never knew that when we had moments that we sang together in your home that I'll have the responsibility to preach a funeral service. It shows the uncertainty of life. And dress for a couple of moments, because at this junction here, there's nothing I could do for her, there's nothing she can do for me. But we who are living and alive and yet remain, that's how there are people that go on in life that you look as exemplars and want to pattern. Sometimes it's good to take a reflection, a look, and see how events unfold in the lives of others and consider, what are we doing with this one solitary life that Almighty God has given unto us? I want to take a reading in God's Word, in the book of Ecclesiastes. And let's just stand in respect of this holy word of God. Ecclesiastes 9, reading from verse 11. Also, I want to take another reading in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. But we'll read from Ecclesiastes 9 first. And it says from verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swiftest, not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happened to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, like the fish that are taken in an evil net, and like the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men, snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. And the book of Hebrews. Verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are passed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let's bow our heads one more time. Our kind Heavenly Father, we ask that your presence and Holy Spirit just be with us in these moments, Lord. As you try, Lord God, to encourage those that are affected, Father. And we try, Lord God, to take a view of ourselves this afternoon, knowing that one day we too may come to this spot. We may not know, we don't know what way we'll go, Lord. But surely we may go, Father. If it is thy will for us to go and taste the hand of death, there's nothing could stop it, Lord. But as we spend these few moments, may you take your word and make it real in the hearts of the people. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen. It is said that in our scripture reading here, that a race is not for the swift. And that comes like the fish. The preacher in putting this down, he says, for man also knoweth not his time. Then he brings an example. It's like the fish that are taken in an evil net. Like birds that are caught in a snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when they fall suddenly upon them. And if you could get into the thoughts of Solomon here, when he look and he look at death and see that it came suddenly, our Sister Beverly wasn't expecting it. Went to have a nice time. Another event of merriment, of enjoyment in her life. Didn't know it was going to be her last time. That when she left home and she left her sister and her cousin and she left a little boy, that she wasn't going to see them again on this side. You know, and if you consider Solomon's thought when he began to speak, he said like a fish in the ocean. It's swimming so happy and free. Up and down, it has spawned, it has come into its own world. And it's enjoying its habitat. Not knowing that up above, there's a fishing boat there. And a net coming. And it's only when the net and when it gets entangled in the net that it realizes his little fishy life is over. It's finished. What was thought to be freedom is suddenly coming to an end. Quickly, suddenly. It causes us to ponder. Someone's like the bird that. It roams in the air. It builds its nest. It is free. Go where it wants. Come when it wants. But one day it alight upon maybe a little stick or a little trap that a man had set. And that was the end of his life. Quickly and suddenly. And sometimes I ask myself, when I consider her, when the laughter play back in my mind, when the guitar keeps strumming and I hear her voice singing. Sometimes, in our human mind, we ask ourselves, why, Lord? I mean, she was young and full of energy. There was so much in life for her. And we want to know, well, it got cut off so quickly, so suddenly, until when the news came, it almost jolted the parents. It's unbelievable. It couldn't happen, but yes, it happened. And I tell myself, I wonder if I could talk to God a little bit. I wonder if I could go up and knock on his door. If we could, if we together this afternoon for the next couple of minutes, considering her, how she was so young and had such a full of life, full of energy, and we will think, have a whole lifetime to live. I wonder if I could have a little conversation with God this afternoon. I wonder if he could draw me and you together, if we could come together and put a knock on God's door and sit down and fellowship with him a bit. And ask him, Lord, she was so young and nice, beautiful girl, but now she has moved away from this life. Her book is closed, finished, Lord. You know, and it seems so tragic, Lord Jesus. And I want to understand. And I can hear the Lord telling me, and you listen. Maybe you ask me a question. My son, what is, do you think is life on this earth? You asking me, telling me her life is so young and she had so much to live for. What is your opinion? What is your thoughts? What do you think that will represent a full, complete life on this earth? That if at the point where I take somebody off the face of the earth, that you could say, yes, they live a good life. At least they could go now. And in my own little human mind, and I want to look back. And I want to move from this place and take you with me. Let's stand on the threshold of eternity and let's look back in time and let's look back upon this planet Earth here. And let's see what we could see. Whoa, we'll see violence. We'll see everybody want to go their own ways. And we're asking ourselves, well, what then could be a full and complete life on this earth here? Because you want to answer God. And when I look at the trend of man, when I look at what most human beings on the face of this earth, when they come into this world, what they try to achieve, I see that most just want to have and live a comfortable life, what they'll call a comfortable life. Why would the mother and the father drill their children so that they'll be able to learn so that they could pass common entrance and put so much emphasis on it? And when they get through there, send them to a secondary school, send them to a university, because they don't want a child maybe to suffer the things that they suffered, because they want a child to live what they think to be a fruitful and successful life. I see that men could take so many different roles. Some young woman would tell herself, well, look, I don't want to struggle. All I want is a roof over my head. All I want is clothes on my back. All I want is some food to eat. All I want is to live free and enjoy myself with this one solitary life that I have here. And in order for me to do that, it means to say in this whole life, in order to, I have to get an education. So she chose a career. Maybe some want to be a professional model. Maybe some want to be an airline stewardess. Maybe some want to be an expert in computers. Maybe some say, look, I want to be a fashion designer. You know, there's so many things. A young man, he may say, well, I want to be a politician that could I'll be able to help my country to come out from its political dilemmas. Maybe some want to be a doctor, a lawyer, or to choose some profession. And when the ambitious person chooses that profession, they strive, they put their energies, their aim, their heart is set upon acquiring the things that will be able to make them achieve their objective, so that when they achieve their objective, then they'll be able to settle down and enjoy life the best, most it could afford. I guess everybody in the face of youth look in that direction. If we're going to, now, when we look, we'll see the unambitious, the scoundrel, the man who don't care whether Monday falls on a Sunday. So we cannot look at him and say, that's a good, pleasurable life. Because, follow me when I say, if God is going to ask me, what will I consider to be a good life? And we're looking to see something we could present back to God and say, God, I think this meets the mark. And when we look, we see what people try to achieve, what they try to accomplish in this life, that they'll feel satisfied that their moments on the face of the earth was well spent. If you could find that, you want to present and say, Lord, I think this is it here. And when we look back at men, we see men strive with all their energies to accomplish some stature in life that they'll be able to satisfy their physical needs. Maybe the man might be an academic. So what he does, maybe he look and say, well, look, I'll excel in sports. And he begin to train and become a sportsman, then become the top of his ladder, reached the heights, be one of the greatest that he's spoken about around the world, and then maintain it. And in that way, he earns money to make a living, and he could have a nice home and have a nice car and have food and have clothes and have a shelter over his head, and he's free, he's his own man. He could go where he wants and come where he wants. He could help who he wants and help who he don't want. He could give to the community. In other words, then, his life has reached its fulfillment. And you see parents, when they train their child and they guide their child, and their child reaches a spot where the child come out to be something that we consider to be noteworthy, how they are so proud. They'll take the child pigeon or their son or their daughter pigeon, put it on the newspapers, and you find Miss So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so's sons graduate from the University of so-and-so with top class honors and so-and-so, and you know. And they feel good. They are satisfied that their children can now go and live a life, a fruitful, happy, and joyous life. After that, well, that's the end. And I say, Lord, when I look at men, I'm talking to them. I say, when I look at men, I think most men try to accomplish something and live a nice, happy life, as I tried to explain just now. And I can see him look down at me with pity in his eyes. He says, son, take a walk with me. Let's find that man and let's look and see. And if you have your Bibles, maybe we could look in Luke 18. If God is going to speak, he goes back to his word. I'm sure our precious sister would like to go on and live and become something in life. Her life wasn't a bed of roses. in talking with her, in fellowshipping her, she had hard times. Of her own choosing, most of the times, but nevertheless, she had hard times. I know she never anticipated that she'd have been a coffin this afternoon. But when I look in Luke 18, at what most people strive for, what most people are, maybe if you're going to ask what you're like for her, maybe you're going to choose what I just said here, that she could have accomplished something in life and settled down and sort of enjoyed life as much as life will afford and have a job and have a good income, able to afford the nice things in life, you know. And in Luke 18, God is pointing me to the scripture now. He's looking at us. He said, come, journey with him. Let's talk. And it says, and a certain ruler asked him. This ruler came to Jesus. I want to examine this man. Saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? Thou knowest the command. Why callest thou me good? None is good except one, that is God. And thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. So then we recognize one thing about this young man. This young man was a morally upright man. This man was somebody that a parent could have pointed children to and say, look at so-and-so. So decent. You don't find him gambling and lying and cheating and in ill company. Morally upright. Pleasant personality. Follow me? So, says that, he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Maybe grew up in a nice home, was taught what you call manners, was taught training. Now, when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet thou lackest one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. That means that this man was successful. If he's going to be rich, he was successful. He had it made in life. He grew up, maybe he studied and maybe qualified, and or maybe he inherited a business or something, and he had money. He wasn't a vagabond. He wasn't ill-trained. He had manners. He had etiquette. He had deportment. And seeing that he kept the commandments, he means that he had religion also. What a man. Oh, I guess his parents might have been proud of this boy. And maybe when they see some other child that is a delinquent, they'll tell their parents, why? Look at my boy. Look at my boy fear in life. Why don't you all follow his example? A type of, he looks as if the kind of a man that this society would like to see. The type of man that most people like their children to come out and be successful. But notice, he wanted now to have success with God. He wanted to go on. When he came to Jesus, he said, sell all that you have and follow me. The Bible says he left sorrowfully, for he had great riches. Let's follow him just a little bit. And turn to me to Luke 12. And Luke 12, from verse 16, it says, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought with himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no place to bestow my crops? And he said, this will I do, I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See? Live a good life. Enjoy it.
Was only one you got? But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided?
I want to stop right here for now.
In other words, when you're prosperous and everything was going nice,
death came and knocked on his door. He said, this day your soul is required of you.
And I ponder. I stop and I wonder what this life is all about then. If what I taught, if what we taught was what we identify as in our natural mind as being successful seems to come to naught at the point of death, what is life all about? Fame, you're successful. And then I asked, I said, well, what did it mean then? And I considered, with pity, I believe, God looked down upon us and said, come, let's go a little further. Let's journey a little bit more. And in Matthew 13, he's telling us, turn to Matthew 13. Hold it right there. And maybe he'll ask us this afternoon. He said, what did David see? I said, Lord, well, David said, he was shaped in iniquity and in sin did his mother conceive him. I may have asked, what did Paul say? I said, Lord, Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And Solomon? He said, a man born of a woman is a few days and full of sorrow. And John? He said, if we say we have no sin, we do lie. The truth is not in us. And maybe I'll ask Lord, what you're getting at? And he'll take me to Matthew 13. Verse 44. And he says, son, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, he hideth. And for joy of it going and for joy of it goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking fine pearls. And when he had found one of pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and brought it. And what he's trying to point here is that the kingdom of heaven was so precious that the man was willing to give up all that he had to obtain it. All his possessions. And notice, when God talked to this young man here, he said, go and sell all that you have and follow me. Come. Because he asked the question, after he reached a spot of he had everything in life that this natural life could offer, success and everything, now he wanted to be on terms with God to cement his relationship. Because what said the scripture? Man shall not live by bread alone. And I want you to take note of the word alone. It means that we have to live by bread. But not bread alone. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So man has to live by bread, and man has to live by God's word in order to have
total life. And so far, this young man had lived by bread. So far, we have described a scene of people reaching success that lived by bread. Now he wanted to go now and live by the word of the Lord also in order to have complete and total life. And when he was asked to make the sacrifice, sell all you have, come and follow me, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man that had treasure hidden in a field, and he sold all that he had to come and purchase it. Like a man who found a pearl of great price, and sold all that he had that he may obtain that pearl. The price. He turned away and walked sorrowfully away. With all the abundance of riches he had to walk away sorrowfully. And he had to come down to death too. And when we look at it, and we ask ourselves, well, then what? God is trying to tell us. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And we ought to listen to Jesus because he ought to know. Because he's the author of life. He had a successful life. He said, take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall wear, what you shall put on. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Watch Jesus in teaching. When he made that statement, I want you to understand something. He said unto the disciples, therefore I say unto you, be anxious. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what you shall put on. The life is more than food, and the body is more than raiment. Then he went on and he looked at nature. He said, consider the ravens. God talking now. Listen, we take a journey, we want to ask God the totality. What is life? What is the essence? Where we could enjoy it to our fullest. We presented unto him what we think, what we see happening in the face of the earth, what we believe will give us a total and complete life. Success and everything like that. And he pointed us back to his word and said, look, a man had success. Yet when he died in sorrow. Because, and he said, if you want total, he gave us the key. He said, total life consists of bread. Man shall be bread alone, but by every word also. Then he tells us that the kingdom of heaven, if you're going to get and attain that life, it comes a self-denial. It will be sacrificial. We have to give up, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, for me to die is gain. Then he comes and he tells us, he said, let me take some of the things you all fight over against. Fight to obtain food, clothes, shelter. He said, listen. He says, not life more than food, and a body more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither had storehouse nor barn. And God feed them. How much more are you better than fowls? And just to save some time, let me drop down a little bit. He said, if God then so clothed the grass, which is today is in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of any doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. All these things do the nations of the world, the people of the world seek after. For that what we taught is the fullness of life. You see, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Not that your Father wants you to be destitute. God is going to provide you with these things. God knows you have need of these things, and God is going to make sure you have these things. Understanding me? For man shall not live by bread alone. He said, God knows you have need of these things. God will provide these things for you. He said, but you as an individual, he said, but rather, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. And when we look back, we see men that had riches. And when they come to the kingdom of God, when they heard God, they were willing to part the richest men, nothing to them.
like Zacchaeus, a rich man. And when he came to Jesus, he said, Lord, I've given goods to a third of my goods to the poor. Everyone that I take from, I'll pay them back fourfold. In other words, then what he had was nothing because he had found a treasure. He had found something that was worthy of all his possessions, worthy of all his life. And he knew that if he got a hold of that, then he comes under the hands of Almighty God. And God, who feeds the ravens, is more than able to feed him. God, who clothed the grass of the field, is more than able to clothe him. God is more than able to supply. We see a man like Job with so much riches. Yet when God took all away from him, it meant nothing to him. It showed where his heart was at. He clung unto the Lord even more. In other words, then, what he's trying to show us, there's a key, there's a way to success. And it lies not in leaning on our own understanding. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, what God is trying to say to us, the kingdom of heaven is worth all that you have. To find God, to know him, to do his will, to walk in his way, is much more better than for us striving to live a life, to enjoy life away from him. That even if I find my Lord and I submit myself unto him, if death should take me while I'm 6, if death should take me while I'm 20, if death should come while I'm 40, if death should come while I'm 60, it means nothing to me. For because he died, I died with him. And when he rose, I rose with him. That Paul, when he reached his junction, a man who had given up all his career, a man who could have been one of the most powerful men in Israel, give it all up. He said, I count it dung that I may gain the excellency of Jesus Christ and know him in his power and his resurrection. That when he come to the end, when death come and knock on his door, he said, death, where is your sting? I want to ask you a question. Where is your victory? What about a man that had nothing in life? Look, there was a man called Lazarus. In Luke 16, had nothing. He was a beggar. He couldn't achieve what everybody else could achieve. He didn't have no big roof over his head. He didn't have no fancy guy. He didn't have nice clothes upon his feet. His food was the crumbs that falls from a rich man's table. But Lazarus, in his poverty, held on to the law of Moses and held on to the teachings of Moses and lived a life worthy of the gospel. When Lazarus died, he laid to rest in Abraham's bosom. He laughed in that face. Friends, what does life consist of? What does life hold for us? What is it to this rich young ruler? When he gained all when he achieved the pinnacle that this life could offer apart from God, he came to death's door and death swallowed him. When a beggar didn't have what this life had and came on death's door, he laughed in death's face. Moses left the splendor of Egypt and walked down to the mud pit to identify with a people that had not got slave. Where did they value life? How did they see life? How do you see life? Do you see through the eyes of a rich young ruler? Or do you see through the eyes of a Lazarus? Mind you, as I try to point out to you, God is not saying, go and be a beggar to serve me. No, sir. He said, your heavenly Father know you have need of these things. Heavenly Father is going to provide for you. But why did he point us? Why did he say what? Why did David say he was shaping iniquity and sin his mother conceived him? Because death and sickness and sorrow and all these things had a beginning. But the way was made to conquer it, to be free from it, through the blood of Jesus Christ. That whether you're young or old, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're fat, whether you be a present or whether you be a maid in a house, death have knows no ethnic barriers. It knows
He has no
respect for nothing.
This whole world should unite together.
And one man made a president. Will death respect him?
Also. But there's only one thing death respect. It was on a hill far away. On an Easter weekend, she died. She died at a time when, in commemoration, when we knew on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. One that stood up there with blood bleeding and beaten and wounded.
And he cried out his last breath. He said, "It is finished." Man can now be made free. Man can now enter into life and true life.
I shake my head. I said, "Lord, you speak the truth." I thought that if I try to advance myself and try to live morally upright, that I was going to be so successful. But Lord, I realize now, without you, I am nothing. For I'm like a flower. Today I'm here. Tomorrow I'm withering. I'm like the clouds up in heaven. Today I see it. Tomorrow it just disappears. I'm like the smoke that comes from the end of a matchstick when the fire all gone out. But you made a way for me, Lord. If I'm going to have life, if I'm going to think, I have to change my concept now. I have to change my concept because I realize life is having God. Do I be a pauper or do I be a king?
Whichever way he ordained for me, because my life is in his hands.
I know that when my time come to lie in a coffin, death shall not hold me there. For I've passed from death unto life. Youth is nothing. Old age is nothing. Riches is nothing. Poverty is nothing. All vanity, said the preacher. Let's hear the conclusion of this matter.
Let's get ready to change the course.
I took you here because, as I tell you, I ponder. I say, "Why, Lord? So young, so beautiful, so tender. And yet, it's come to an end." That's what caused me to ponder and think about life. That's what caused me to try to take you on a journey. That's what caused me to ask God, "Oh God, tell me what life is." I trust God by the time as we close here, you get to realize,
we who are alive and yet remain, that by the time we come to our time,
when death will knock on our door, if God so permits, that we'll have an answer waiting for him.
It says in Ecclesiastes 11,
Solomon talking, you know, he was one of the wisest men. He came, he said, "God, all I want is wisdom and understanding," and God granted unto him. When God give a man wisdom, you can't get nothing higher than that wisdom. And Solomon stood there and he's speaking.
He said, "Rejoice,
oh young man," and there are many young men in this place here today, and I want to include young women too. "Rejoice, oh young man, in thy youth. Now let thy heart cheery in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes." In other words, you choose whatever you want to choose. You do whatever you want to do. You come how you want to come. Walk after the merriment and desire of your heart. You go your way. You do whatever you think best. You be your own woman. You be your own man. But no doubt that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Then he gave a little bit of advice. He said, "Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." So what good is it that you have youth and enjoy your youth as much as you could? But when death comes, that's the end of you. When there's a provision made for you to go on.
What does the provision make for you to go into a more youthful state than the youth state that you have right now? Because on that glorious resurrection morning, you'll go down old, but you'll come back up young. You'll go down freckled, but you'll come back up clean. You'll go down scarred, but you'll come back up pure in the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, sir. We have this hope. That though earthworms eat this body, though tomorrow you may be at my funeral, yet by this night, by this evening here, I consider my ways. And I look, and I spoke with God, and I see His word. I told me life will consist of the abundance of things that you possess, or the pleasure that you can get out of it. Life consists. Take up your cross and follow me. Solomon says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw near. Don't wait till you get old, because you might live to be old. Beverly shorten live to be old. So let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. They fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's bow our heads. My Lord Jesus, this condition here that exists this afternoon only calls me to ponder and consider deeper, Lord. I share my thoughts with these I've come to pay their last respects. I pray to consider me, Lord, and consider their ways also. For the gospel is for the living, not for the dead. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit help them to understand what I try to say here this afternoon in simple words that I could find. May the visions upon my head be plain in your heart. May they consider their ways, Lord. And if today or tomorrow you may come for either one of us, we could rejoice and know that the words of the preacher have brought salvation to their soul. Grant it, O Lord. And as we leave this place, Father, to go to the burial ground to commit the remains of our sister into the ground, may your Holy Spirit go with us. One more time, I pray, comfort the family. One more time, Lord God, I pray, Holy Spirit, give them grace and strength to continue on. For uncles and nephews and aunts to consider what was said here this afternoon. For Lord, we know not when our number will be called, but we want to be ready. Grant it, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. And amen. We leave now to go to the cemetery. I think Mountain View. Mountain View Cemetery in Mova. Up in Mova. And may the Lord truly bless you all richly. We are so sorry. We started late. Please bear with us. But nevertheless, I know the occasion is one in which it was so sad. But nevertheless, you consider what is here this afternoon. And may the Lord be with you all. They're dismissed. Let's just sing what they're playing. They're lost in His blood. Lost in His. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. Praise my Savior.
Thank you.